Hello, this is Ricky Turofsky, Summer in the City, 2019, Part 2. It finally feels like summer here in Toronto and is glorious. Since we returned from Florida in late April, we've enjoyed many wonderful cultural events. I like to attend the spring opera offerings of the Canadian Opera Company, and this year we saw Puccini's La Bohème and Verdi's Otello. Both were excellent productions. Bohème was traditional in staging, but when the artists are compelling and sing beautifully, the music takes over as only Puccini can. American soprano Angel Blue sang warmly, and I'm looking forward to seeing her in the Met HD production of Porgy and Bess coming next season. In a role close to my heart, Musetta, Adrienne Tchutchman was fine with her very typical bright soprano and the usual flouncing about the stage, but frankly, she never exuded vulnerability, charm, or sensuality. The men were all passable. It was an enjoyable evening, though. Now, Otello is another story with its searing music and intense drama. I love Gerald Finley's interpretation of Iago. The man is a brilliant singer with a chameleon voice that portrayed the two-faced character perfectly. Russell Thomas, the tenor, soared, and it was appropriate to have a black artist portray a black character, especially in these days of political correctness. I feel his portrayal will develop over the years. The Desdemona of Tamara Wilson was touching, her singing lyrical and lovely. But both Thomas and Wilson are of large proportions and seemed uncomfortable with each other. Johannes Davis' conducting was excellent as usual and only occasionally covered the singers' voices. What was intriguing was to go to the opening week of the Stratford Festival and see Othello, the play, and compare it to the opera. I think that music always enhances a drama, but the performance of Michael Blake in the title role at Stratford's Festival Theatre was riveting and haunting. Opening week is almost always a delight. I say almost because last year's opening had a bomb threat which kept us from seeing The Tempest. This year, all was smooth sailing. It's an early black tie affair and the weather was quite lovely. Best of all is the dinner where Charles and I were seated with Don and Colm Feaur, who are marvelous, amusing, captivating dinner companions and our friends. Don is the director-choreographer Billy Elliot and Little Shop of Horrors, and I can never quite comprehend how clever, creative, imaginative, and brilliant she is. She's also very beautiful and vivacious. She's got everything. Excuse me. Colm is an actor of great esteem and recently won the prestigious Governor General Arts Award. This year, Charles and I supported Billy Elliot, and it was superlative. If you've ever seen the movie, know that this is better. The music by Elton John and incredible dance numbers just blow your mind, particularly because this is the thrust stage of the Festival Theatre, and the dancers are just a breath away. The number with the riot police, the striking miners, and the children of the North English town is astounding and unnerving. I've seen this now twice, and we'll see it again in August. The boy, played by Nolan Dubuc, is superb. His acting, singing, and especially his dancing are fabulous. Hard to believe he's only 11. I love Dan Shamroy, who played his father, a tough but eventually lovable character. Dan is amazing. He is also appears as a crazy dentist in Little Shop of Horrors, and last year was Frank N. Furter, the star of the Rocky Horror Show. He is truly a remarkable actor and singer. We also saw The Merry Wives of Windsor, and the audience was in an uproar of hilarity. I personally am not wild about slapstick comedy, but I would have to take that up with Bill Shakespeare, as this is how he wrote it. I do prefer the opera Falstaff with the same story, but perhaps that is because the music takes over. The actors were excellent as usual, and what delights me is that they play more than one role at the festival, sometimes in one day. Garrett Wynne Davies went from being the egocentric Falstaff to the urbane and sophisticated Elliot Davies in Private Lives. He and Lucy Peacock are hilarious, and Noah Coward's play is just a true comic delight with excellent period sets and costumes. What a joy. Finally, we saw Little Shop of Horrors. I didn't like the movie years ago when I saw it, but as Donna Fior was at the helm of this production, we wouldn't miss it. It was terrific. Gabby Epstein, who played Audrey, can really bell it out and has a charmingly innocent demeanor. Dan Chamorro steals the show, well, almost, as Oren, the dentist. All the cast is excellent. But the plant, Audrey Two, or Tui, is my favorite, with her bass voice and massive mouth repeating, "Feed me." Laughed myself silly and enjoyed the Motown music with the three muses side singers in their costumes, changes, and slinky moves. Stratford is always a wonderful time. When we have some spare time there, we drive over to Mennonite country in St. Jacobs, about 30 minutes away. We often buy homemade jams and produce. This time Charles got a real buy with shoes, some new Sperry topsiders. I've since gone back to see Billy Elliot and loved it even more. I also saw Little Shop again, and though it is fun, I loved it less. Not one you can see many times. We visited the AGO, or the Art Gallery of Ontario, and saw two exhibitions, Impressionism in the Age of Industry, Monet, Pissarro, and more. It was very crowded, but we managed to see some super works of art. I love the French Impressionists with their hazy colors, of course reflecting the times with coal dust in the air. That exhibit is now finished, but the ongoing one that I was curious about is Kusama's Infinity Mirrored Room, and worth a visit. It is a brilliant space filled with mirrors and reflections, and is now part of the permanent collection. This is not an easy to describe exhibit. Unfortunately, there is so much construction on Dundas Street where the gallery sits. It just makes it more challenging for us, as it is a trip downtown. We used to go early, find a parking spot, head down to the waterfront afterward to our fave dim sum place, Pearl Harborfront, and have a pleasant art and food-filled day. Pearl's food is delicious and reliable, and the view of Toronto Harbor is splendid. The whole city always is under construction at this time of year, and even the subways can be closed from time to time. They say in Toronto there are two seasons, winter and construction. And they're not lying. Sadly, a dear friend of mine, Wason Choi, died suddenly in his sleep. Wason was an esteemed Canadian author. My emails from Wason have given me solace these last few months since he died, and they are beautiful. Wason was a superb writer of books. He was also a superb writer of emails. The last one he sent me, he wrote, "And so I'm trotting along with Father Time on this coming April 20th, to be exact. It'll be my 80th year. It seems my brain cells have been slip-sliding along, my mobility slowing down. In fact, I have recently fallen twice and have been advised to carry a cane with me, especially if the streets are wet, icy, etc. Shucks, no more dancing down our front steps like Fred Astaire. Dan." And the memory of that wonderful smile so deeply treasured by me, and that smile belongs to you, dear friend. Wouldn't it be nice to have a dim sum at the Pearl Court, say, after mid-April? Of course, my treat. My joy. Let me know. Much love, Wason. Toronto is a city of dim sum restaurants, and this one is different from the other Pearl I mentioned above. I arrived back in Toronto from Florida late Tuesday, April 23rd, and he died on the 27th. Alas, no lunch that weekend, only tears and memories of Wason. A few years ago, I decided to write a memoir and applied to Humber College. I had to submit some writing, and lo and behold, I got into Wason's class. I think he knew that I was an opera singer and was curious. It couldn't have been my submission. He encouraged me to write a memoir. His mentorship continued until my book was published. He wanted drafts of every chapter so that he could offer his pithy suggestions and comments. He was always kind, but also very truthful. I begun my book with the tragic death of my daughter, and I thought it was a very dramatic way to begin. Wason carefully pointed out in another email, "We have not been given a chance to see you as that individual you were before the tragedy struck. Some of your raw material must clearly examine. Who was I before this event? And all those details that make you real to the reader must be established thoroughly. The drama is what you were and how you changed or grew, fell back or rose before, during, and after the powerful events in your life," he said. So I followed his advice, and he wrote, "I've bought 3 of your paperbacks to share with all of my new students to show them what can be achieved by sharing the truth of their own significant lives, a beautiful and significant memoir." Yahoo! I was thrilled with his approval. My husband and I entertained him a few times at our home, and he loved our piano-playing dog and the green of our garden. I will miss him this summer and always. I was asked to be a guest on Finances Personal by my good friend Liz Nemovsky, the host creator. She's a marvelous interviewer, and the focus of the television programs is financial management for and by women. Each segment focuses on a different issue related to women and finance, and the guests discuss such topics as financial planning, debt, estate preparation, investing, insurance, finance of divorce, taxes, running a business, fraud, and so much more. Because of my experience in philanthropy, we discuss that in all its many forms, from volunteering to giving blood to sponsoring the arts and supporting hospitals. We talked about how I became involved in philanthropic pursuits. The show can be seen on YouTube. Liz was recently honored with the Wealth Professional Financial Literacy Champion Award. This is an endorsement of her skills and knowledge by her peers. She's getting married this week. Charles and I are hosting a formal black tie dinner for her and Wouter, her fiancé, at our home this evening. Of course, this evening when I wrote this. So I'm not sure why I'm sitting in my office and writing. I should be prepping appetizers. I am having a chef and server come to help me. But of course, there's lots to do. I set my table, as I always do, a few days ahead of time. This early effort always pays off, as I'm not as stressed the day of a dinner party, and I can enjoy looking at the table and fuss about it. My garden needs one last cleanup and some defogging for mosquitoes by Charles, and then I will set up outside for our apps and champagne in the garden. The weather so far is cooperating, not humid, as it has been, and a nice summer temperature. I enjoyed setting the table this past week because Lara, our son James' ex-wife, was visiting us with June, our granddaughter. They live in a small town in Quebec near the Ontario border. Lara helped me by rolling up the menus that I had created and tied them with a ribbon. I'm quite hopeless at those sorts of things. We also set the table together. Our visit was filled with much laughter and catching up, and we also took a trip to Stratford to see Little Shop of Horrors once again, and to visit the incredible costume warehouse on a private tour that was informative and entertaining. And we got to try on some of the wares. After a slow start today, the morning after our party, I can truly say it was a momentous celebratory occasion. All went well, and I even sang after dinner. The guests were from Macedonia, the Ukraine, Russia, the USA, and everyone was ready to party. It was a great fun. Even Oscar played the piano at one point. He also wore a bow tie. There was Raptors fever in Toronto this summer, and so many of us who never watched a basketball game were glued to our TVs. The extraordinary parade after Toronto's win drew an unexpected crowd of close to 2 million people. Our first NBA championship. My golf club's member guest was a hoot with the theme Summer of Love. Our team went dressed as Mamma Mia wannabes and had many laughs and loads of amusement. All the women danced the night away with each other. My girlfriend Marlene, who is always my guest for this event, unabashedly grabbed a young male golf pro and got him up on the dance floor. This week is the opening of the Toronto Summer Music Festival, which is always a delight. The wedding of Liz and Wouter with the glory of the Macedonian Church is coming up, and we continue in our senior years to be as busy as can be. We are off to Spain this week, and of course I will report on that trip. I will also be going back to Stratford for two more opening shows, The Crucible and Front Page, in August, and will write about the gorgeous Macedonian wedding that we attended, another crazy member guest, and the final weeks of summer in the city 2019. Please feel free, well, you can't make any comments if you're listening to the blog cast, it's not easy to say, but if you're reading this, I ask my readers to make comments about this and previous blogs because I love reading them. Anyway, cheers.